I know I've always been a, you know, a spiritual person, but now to experience in a different level, it I'm in a position now where, of course, there's not a lot of people who think like me or have even experienced what I have experienced, or it's hard to really resonate. However, there's a lot of people that have experienced but have suppressed their experience because, again, the fear of judgment, not wanting to look like they're crazy. You know, I experienced all of that in the beginning, and I knew right away to, you know, take myself out from almost exposing this journey too much because I didn't want the other voices kind of, you know, derailing the journey because of the criticism or the judgments or just the not believing or whatever. It wasn't their journey, it was mine. So I needed to make sure that I was protecting my space, right? And it was only till later on, even, you know, like even Matt is like a perfect example. He did not, it was really hard for him to comprehend a lot of the things. And he had a lot of his own fears that were projected on me. And he, of course, his mind was going, I don't want you to go through like what your brother went through. And it was, that was a lot of his fears and all the things that I was saying. He's like, Nubia, like, honestly, like what you're saying, like, I hear you, but it's almost hard for me to comprehend and believe. But throughout the journey, like even my brother has given him little nudges to be like, I need you to be kind of like on board, right? Like to be like, you need to support her. And it wasn't like force, nothing was forced. It was like he was going through these little experiences where he was like, okay, now after like almost a year of all this, Matt is going through his own healing journey. He's like starting, he's finally in a position where he's like, I can't do this no more. You know that, you know, when it comes to being an entrepreneur and all the things that you've done since you were, you know, a kid growing up, things that you did to escape certain realities, right? Things that have happened that you want to just consume yourself with something else to wipe away, you know, pain and just things like that.
For sure.
So you learn, you condition yourself to do things, right? And anytime something uncomfortable comes up, let me do that thing again. That's going to mask, right? So it's just like a constant. And it gets to a point in everyone's life. That's why the whole midlife crisis thing is a thing, simply because people get to a point in their life where, like, this is it, right? Like, this, like, I go to work, I go to this, this is that. Like, people are living a life of what they're supposed to be doing. Right, not what
No, they
they're
want.
truly feeling inside.
Very
That's
true.
where that soul searching kind of comes in. Is like people can go through any time in their life, but when you get a point where I do have, you know, a decent job, I do have a family, I do have all these things, and it's not enough. There's still this emptiness because through all of these years
Gonna start
you've been avoiding, right? I feel like
True.
you
I'm
resonate
going through it right now. Like I'm literally going through it right now where, you know, as an entrepreneur, like it's hard. I'm back in the workforce, right? Ever since we moved to Las Vegas, you know, I took care of my kids for the first year. My wife worked and then she was hated it. You know what I mean? And I was like, listen, you do not have to stay there. You do not have to stay there. If it's making you miserable, it's obviously making you terribly miserable. Leave. And then I'll do what I got to do to make things happen. And you take that time off to kind of find what you really want to do. You know what I mean? And it took another year. So I went back to the workforce for a year and it was fun. It was fun not having to make decisions to just go in and work. And now she's back at work and she works for, weirdly enough, a supplement company, Ghost. And yeah, and now she's full time and she's the, you know, I want to say the leader of the household again. And I'm taking care of the kids, which is something that I always want to do. But I went from like doing all this work to like not doing really much anymore. But I never really even liked the work I was doing. I was just doing it for money. I was doing it to save my family. And now I'll do it like part time and I fucking hate it. Like, I don't hate it. It's fun. It's fun because it's creative. Bartender. I'm bartending, you know, mixologist, whatever you want to call it. But it's just not like this is what I'm doing now is what I want to do. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's not what everyone thinks is going to pay bills, is going to direct me this way and the standards of living. But like, I hate being told what to do. Mm-hmm. Honestly do.
Well, even that though, that comes from not being told what to do. It's a trigger.
Right.
It really is. Mm. Right. So yes. Somewhere along the lines of your life.
My mom. Say it all the time. Tell my therapist all the time.
Right. So it's just all those little things, right? It's that piece. Have you come to terms with it? Is there healing around it? Are you still triggered by it? Like all of those things, if it's still, you know, creeping up at you, those are the moments where that coming home to you and getting to know yourself and, okay, why is that really bothering you?
Right.
Right. To a level where can you release it? And if you can't release it and you're holding on to something, well, what is it? What attachment to that do you have that it's holding you back?
Hmm. Very true. We all know it's mom. Filipino culture, like she's tough, you know what I mean? And I have to hold myself back and or obviously do my therapy with my therapist to work on being better in the house, because sometimes even when my wife, who is a micromanager and she knows it, like she'll start micromanaging me and like it triggers me to the fullest extent to where we have to like compromise a lot. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's a fight. It's just like, I'm still a child. Right. And like, you're still my mom. Like, shut the fuck up. And you know, my mom's coming tomorrow too.
That's the thing, right? At least you're kind of like recognizing it, right?
Yes.
For me, it was the whole speaking, you know, being able to speak your truth and this and that. And I didn't really know it was a thing really up until like earlier, mid of this year, when I started really diving into more of why am I the way I am, right? And there's a lot of things that I went through and something that I'm so proud that I don't do anymore. And during this journey, and I've done it for years and I didn't even know, it was so normal to me. I actually used to self-harm every time I couldn't speak my voice. It was like a shameful thing. It was like, I would look at myself in the mirror. I was like, you know, what's wrong with you? Like, why can't you speak? You know, it was like this shameful, like, how dare you? Like, you know, just be in a very negative space.
Right.
And then during the healing journey, what really, because I've personally been sexually, I wouldn't say abused, because I don't think it was more like molested, harassed, all that, since I was 5 years old.
Gotcha.
And ever since I was 5 years old, I was told, don't say anything, don't tell anyone, right? Yeah. I've been told that most of my childhood life, up until even my teenage years, right? Don't say anything, don't tell anyone. It's between us, right?
Difficult.
And it led on to other relationships, right? You know, things in the beginning of any relationship is always good, but then when things start to, like, you know, whether it's like ideas don't match or just, you know, something, someone wants to do something, maybe you don't want to do it, you start to just submit all the time. You become submissive, right? And I've always been the peacemaker, the caregiver, just my entire life. That's just how I was, and that's how I was literally trained to be, like
submissive.
So I was always like that, and I always had great intentions. I always had a beautiful, you know, heart and wanting to give and show love and this and that. But I wasn't even realizing how much I was like dimming myself and making myself so small in the process of that.
Right.
So this journey has really allowed me to see all of that, because in a way I've already forgiven, you know, whether it's the people or the situations, the experiences that I had, I already went through that. But the meditation is what, because I had this fear and I had no idea where it was coming from. And meditation really, when I set an intention for that session,
right,
I was asking, where is this coming from? And through that session, it literally came through. You know, I kept hearing, you know, don't say anything, don't tell anyone. And it was right. Oh my gosh, like this big realization. And I finally took back my power, if you will, you know?
Right.
So it changed a lot of things and it strengthened my relationship with almost everyone.
Okay.
Right. And that's just parts of it. You know, when we did our first podcast, it was more related towards like my brother, right?
And
this one, it was towards like my healing, where it even started. So I don't know if you want to go back to that or if you had any specific questions that you wanted to ask.
I'm already recording. So
this
okay. We just started going. It was like, wow, this is, let's just do it just in case. And let's just roll. We don't need an intro. Yeah. We do intro after. So you talk about meditation with intention, right? A lot of people don't even know what it means to meditate. I know you, that has really helped you in finding a voice of your own, right? And that's what I got from last time, as well as you just brought it up now. When you say that you meditate with an intention, what does that mean?
To meditate with an intention?
Yeah. Like describe, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So meditation has been by far my number one tool.
Right.
But now, just in brief, when I say I meditate with an intention, every time I meditate, I set an intention in what I want to feel, what I want to get, a message. So I'm very connected to also to spirit, right? So if an intention, if for example, in that situation where I said, you know, I heard the kind of like that inner voice say, don't tell anyone, don't say anything. Right. It was my intention for that was through this meditation, I want to know like, where is this fear coming from? That was my intention for that meditation, right? I wanted to know where this kind of blockage was, right? So being able to sit with myself and just, you know, breath work obviously helps. That's how I start all my sessions. And then I'm just there. And then it just comes through. And it's not easy. So for anyone that's new to meditation, you know, of course we get all those thoughts, all the stories, the scenarios, things that have happened, things are, you know, you think are going to happen, the groceries, just that, just so many things start to pop up. But that's absolutely normal in the beginning, right? It's just like starting anything new. You go work out to try a new fitness program. It's not going to be like you're going to go and you're going to get it everything perfect, right? You know this. You see new people coming into like to a gym. It's, you got to start from scratch, right? Body awareness, proper form, breathing, all these things before you start, you know, lifting heavier weights or whatever the case may be, right? So it's the same thing. So meditation in the beginning for me was very like it was almost this space where, because I was, you know, grieving my brother's death, it was like, that's the only thing that grounded me.
Okay. Where
I wouldn't be like crying. I wouldn't be, you know, in my headspace somewhere else. And guided meditations for me in the beginning were very, very helpful because it allowed me to focus on one thing versus letting my mind, you know, go all over the place. But even that, I didn't just go into meditation just because everything was led to that, right? So how I previously mentioned how my brother really connected me spiritually from the spirit world, and he was leading me towards this. So going through grief and going through like this instant kind of spiritual awakening happened all at once. So the first week and a bit, I was just destroyed. I didn't sleep. I don't think I probably slept 5 hours all week. You know, your mind goes all over the place. You're almost in a space of like psychosis, where it's just your mind is wandering. You're in this deep grief, pain, just this worthlessness kind of feeling, like guilt, just all of that. And then after connecting with my brother in the beginning, So this is where, when it comes to, like, say, grief, or if you're going through something really heavy,
right,
spirit connect usually has a way to connect with others and other ways to connect with the person, to let them know, like, I can't connect with you right now because you are just so in a really dark space that you're not even open at all. I need to do it with someone else.
Right. And
that's how it started leading. The first three times, even before I actually immersed myself, because the first time you think, like, is it a kind of coincidence? Did it really happen? Is it just this once? And then it kept happening and again, and then again, right, and again. And that's where when it was more so in the beginning, I would say my parents, my brother was a little bit more open because everyone's grieving and all that, but they're not experiencing what I am experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, they were like, okay, Nubit, you need to calm down, you know, just let him rest in peace. Like, you know, it was becoming overwhelming, right? Because they were, you know, trying to, like, in this process of kind of letting him go, especially in a religious context, you know, once a person dies, that's it. You know, you don't, you can pray for them, but you would never talk to them.
Right.
And it's something my mom has been more open to, and her healing journey has been a little bit better than my father's versus him. He is very, like, you know, to the books, with his Catholicism. And it's like, you just don't do that. And I'll pray for my son, but I won't ever speak to him. Right. And it's kind of sad because there's been so many points in my journey where my brother was asking me, like, tell dad to me, to connect with me. I want to help him. And I would, but he would be very closed off. He's like, I'm not. It would feel like he was betraying, you know, the beliefs and all that kind of stuff. Right. So I just, there was just so much healing with everyone, because in connecting with my brother spiritually, that went on for like almost 2 months. There's just so many beautiful things. Mm-hmm. And it got to a point where I was so attached to that as well. So this is the process where I learned how to detach myself.
Okay.
And so I realized that for a while, I started not to get as many connections. So I just, you know, the first week went by, and like second week went by, I started to feel anxious. I started to feel like the same feelings kind of come up again. I started to feel like angry. Yeah. I started to like resentment towards like my brother who already passed. It's like, my mind was like, how can you do this to me? Like, you're doing this, you're leaving me again. Like, you just connect with me and all of a sudden you're gone. Boo. Like, it was such an awful experience. But that experience, I turning against almost myself, I started to get sick. So I started to lose weight. I started to have like just brain fog. I developed gout. I started getting skin rashes.
Yeah.
Right. So this is the part where I truly understood that if my mind can make me sick,
right,
my mind can also make me well. Like, the moment I felt rashes on my arms, and I remember very specifically, I was just sitting on the couch, and I was just so bitter. I had this, and I'm not like that, right? But I was just, you know, still in that heavy kind of grief, like 2 months later, like feeling like he left me again.
Right.
And I remember just feeling my arm, and I was like, no way. Like, I scared myself. I was like, I can't believe I'm doing this to myself. I literally stood up from the couch and just looked up and said, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this to myself. I felt like I knew that he was watching me destroy myself. I'm like, enough. It was literally like a whole 360. I said, enough. You know, I watched my brother destroy himself, you know?
Yeah.
And it was hard to watch. And in that moment, I had a glimpse that I was doing the same thing.
Hmm. Very true. And so that quote.
Pardon?
I said that quote that you said, like it's, if my mind could make me sick, my mind could make me better. That's... Yeah. that's it. That's gold. You know what I mean? That mindset is gold.
You know, I actually, I got that. There's so many people that I feel like that say that, that it just really sticks with me because it's true. I think the power of the mind is so, it's intelligent.
Yes.
Like we create our reality. And if we're in the past, if we're in the future, we're actually not living.
Right.
Right. Are the days become like just, it's just we're creating a past in the instant moment.
Right.
Right. Because we're not allowing to embrace, there's too much noise. Right.
Yes.
So it's that piece has been so healing. So all of that led to so much because my dad got sick. His depression got really bad to the point where I became the caregiver again, but with a different mindset. It wasn't like this obligation. It was, it's like I turned into this, almost like this powerhouse. And I remember I went to Vancouver. There was this expo that Matt had for Exponent. And I remember leaving. I had an argument with my dad because I was seeing how he was just so, like, just so, always so down. And I felt like I was almost comparing in that moment, you know, I'm doing this. And yet you're doing that. Right. And it was just like, and I felt like telling him, like, you remind me of Justin. Like, I wanted to tell him, like, the way you're behaving is just that, you know, you just can't get out of it. And I just felt so much anger. Like, because of course for me, I'm like, I don't want to lose you too. Like, snap out of it. Right. Like, let's do this. I'm trying to help you. And I remember telling my dad, I'm like, just, like, look at me in my eyes, look at me and tell me, I don't want your help. And he literally looked at me and said, I don't want your help, my dad. And that crushed me. I was so angry. And I was like, you know, I don't care. This is it. You know, I was so bitter. And I remember I was on the plane to Vancouver. And, you know, you can watch movies and things like that. So I was scrolling through the movies. And there's one that caught my eye, and it was called The Sun. I don't know if you ever watched it. It's called The Sun. And then I saw it. I'm like, it looked a little bit, I wanted something a little bit more upbeat kind of thing. And I kind of looking, but it kept like sticking in my mind. Then I saw it again. I'm like, you know what? Whatever. I'm going to watch it. And after I finished watching the movie, like Matt would have had his headphones on and, you know, he was doing his thing. I was just bawling. And the what do you call it? The flight attendants, sorry. Mm-hmm. The flight attendant, she comes, she's like, oh my gosh, are you okay? I'm like, and then she's like, is this your wife? To Matt, she's like, Kathy. She's like, he's like, oh my God, are you okay? So the movie, if you've never watched it, it's obviously different kind of storyline, but it was still the same. Like I felt like I was watching the story of my brother and my dad.
Oh, wow.
Like mental illness, everything, suicide, like it was intense. And to see like the two spectrums, like, you know, the journey of the son and the journey of the father,
right?
And how they're two different journeys, but they're both in their own pain, right? And to see, you know, and I knew this was like, okay, I had to watch this. It's like Spiro was saying, okay, you got to watch this so you have a little bit more of an understanding, especially with what happened to you guys. So at the end, the dad and Hugh Hefner, X-Men guy?
Hugh Jackman,
sorry.
The only guy I know.
He's the one that plays the father.
Oh, okay.
And so at the end, just seeing how destroyed he was and the pain that he had after losing a son.
Yeah.
And like I felt like I was just watching my dad. Because the thing is, I never saw my dad cry, even at the funeral.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never saw my dad cry. he was the one who had to be strong. He didn't show emotion, you know? And I held that moment, made me look at my dad with such compassion and empathy. Like I saw him in a totally different way. It was like an instant change for me. And then when I got home, my mom, she's in her own headspace. But when I got home, I'm like, where's dad? And she's like, oh, he's downstairs. She's like, just leave him alone. You know, he needs his space. I'm like, what do you mean leave him alone? Like, how long has he been down there? He's like, oh, right. A couple of days. I'm like, couple of days? This is awful. So I go downstairs and he's just laying there. And I can tell he hasn't really even been eating. And I just look at him and my heart just, again, this is where that this power kind of came over me. And I just like, I'm like, okay, let's get up, right? We need to get up. And he's just telling me like, I'm done. Just leave me here. Like,
oh,
and it was awful. And I stripped my dad and I literally carried him to the shower and I gave him a bath.
Oh, wow. And he was laying down. Like he was done.
He was done. He's like,
quit.
He was quitting. He was done. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're not done. Like you have a family, you have me, you have mom, you have grandchildren, you have another son. Like you need to like shake this up. So I brought him to the shower. I showered him. I shaved him. I cut his hair. I fed him. And I'm like, okay, we're going to take care of each other. Like I'm going to be here for you. Right. And so my dad, you know, going through his healing journey. Oh my gosh. And then my mom, through the stress, she has ruptured ulcers. I had to take it. She's like on Christmas Day. And, you know, she's puking out blood. We didn't know what it was. It was like, just looked like Coca-Cola color. And after a while, my mom really glued, couldn't stand. And I saw like the color. I asked her to spit in a tissue and it was just blood. I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. Oh, 911. So it was like a 2-month span where my healing became like, okay, I needed to kind of take care of a few things before I really dove into this journey. But the beautiful thing is that my brother was with me the entire time. It was like he was giving me this strength and this light. It was just amazing. Like even every night before I went to bed, like we talked, we spoke, and it was so beautiful. Like when you open your heart and you're just open, you can communicate. It's the most beautiful thing, the most beautiful thing. And just so many different ways to receive, you know, signs. And it's very specific and unique to the person as well. So what my experience, of course, is my own, but say your experience, if you were to ever explore this, it's so unique that it's almost like you can't even explain it because it's just, it's you with the connection and the feeling.
Right.
Nobody can experience that but you. Not even the same, not even another person in another country, nothing. It's just you because it's your soul connection with another spirit, right? You are a spiritual being as well. So it's just such a unique experience. And it's a continuous one. It's a continuous journey. And what really keeps me going is just understanding that we're all on a journey, right? And the more we push kind of forward, and gratitude was like the number one thing for me. It's even on those days, the heavy, heavy days where I had no idea what was happening, you know, all these connections, all of these things were happening. And there's still that so much pain, but I was like, I have no idea what's happening, but I'm still so grateful for this opportunity because I've always known that something greater was going to happen. I kept telling myself that like every day that something greater was going to happen.
Right.
So it's not easy, that's for sure. But once you get out of that really dark space, you know, that's where that true kind of rebirth happens. If you think about it, even just as a child, right? They're in darkness.
Right.
Before they come out to the light.
Right.
They don't know any different. They're, this beautiful, human being, and they don't know which families are going to be in,
right,
what they're going to be doing, what they're going to be exploring. So we become conditioned. It's conditioned. A subconscious, right? It's conditioned to the environment, to the people, and to our parents, our upbringing, things we see and hear, and just all of this. And then there comes to a point in life where you go through this darkness, where it's kind of like in that rebirth, you're in this dark phase, and then you're kind of coming out to the light again. It's right. That rebirth process where you come back home to your soul's purpose, right? If something within you is just feeling like this, almost like pressure, suffocation kind of feeling, or this stuck, or just all of that is telling you to come back home. We're going in a direction where it's not leading you where you need to be, where you're meant to be. So this is why we're constantly being pulled back, and we're constantly feeling all the things that we're feeling, call it negativity, the pain, the suffocation, all of that. It's literally an invitation to come back home to your soul. Let's get to know yourself all over again, right? And that's where, again, meditation really can ground you, and you can really feel and see and sense, and you just know what you're kind of, you're meant to do, right? And it can be something completely different than what you even thought of. So that's where is embracing the unknown piece, right? The control that everybody wants to have for their life is actually resistance.
Yeah.
To what is meant for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And it's very true and honest. Like, a lot of times we feel like we have to control this part and this part and this part, but all you're doing is preventing life from actually happening, right? Mm-hmm. From happening to you, because we're scared. It's scary. And going back to your dad, I can't believe that you found him like that. And he was at that. How hard that must be to see, honestly, like just to see. It's like your dad, the one who took care of you, the one, the strong one that you said, mm-hmm. right? Didn't even cry. And just to see that is.
I think for any child to see their parent like that, it was really hard. Like, but it was, I felt like, and I know a lot of people have the different views about like how a child doesn't have to like take care of their parent, and it's not about that. It's about a human being,
right? Exactly.
It's a human being suffering. It doesn't matter who they are. You don't just leave them.
Right.
And it was as hard as it was actually a very beautiful moment at the same time, because it was a pivotal moment in our relationship, mm-hmm. where we can kind of, he didn't even have to say anything, and I knew that he felt safe.
Right.
That he felt safe, that it was okay to cry, that it was okay to feel.
Hmm.
And my dad, he grew up in that old school, I think he was one of the oldest, and he was belittled. He was beat. He like almost to death, and everything was always his fault. And just his parents didn't, treat him or say anything encouraging to him,
right.
And it really breaks a person, right? Because it feels like, I think a lot of it, and I don't know if this is something you can kind of resonate with, but a lot of our self-worth that at least we think in our most toughest times is because we feel that if, say, my mom or my dad or, the closest people to me didn't value me and uplift me like I should have, that all of a sudden I feel like that I'm defined by that.
Right.
Right. And then we get into this way of living of this kind of, again, this worthlessness or yeah. just not enough. Because imagine if an old parent couldn't show you this type of love and support, you know, we come to a space where we acknowledge that love, true love, can only come from within.
Yes.
Right? It's that place where if you can't love yourself, and this is something I really hold dearly in my heart, is if you love yourself, say 50%, I'm just throwing out a number, you can only give 50% of that love for others. And this is even including your children.
Right.
Right. So imagine just the thought of that and knowing what, you know, we've gone through, you know, and I'm sorry, and I'm saying we, but it's going to be a lot of us.
Yeah, everybody.
You can tell we've all had something, right?
Someone's resonating to it for right? sure, you know?
But it's, we come to this realization and it's like, I know what it feels like, right? It's that's the awareness piece, but awareness can only help you so much until you actually take action, until you actually start practicing it right. yourself, right? And then we teach our children what we never had, and it's to the best of our ability, to the best of our knowledge, to the best of our knowing. And then we hope that they will take that, maybe something that we didn't have, and then they will grow up with what we've taught them.
Right.
And then they're going to grow up and, you know, who knows, maybe there's something along the way that I don't know that my son might think, you know, my mom did this. I don't know, but right. I'm trying. This is what I know to the best of my ability.
Exactly.
Right. And then he exactly. will go through his own journey.
Right.
Right. So it's just, I think even just having children has, for me, has been such an eye-opener as well, because, you know, when I see my son go through, because I say my son, we have three, but my older one, he can obviously speak and all that. And he's very expressive and emotional. So a lot of the things that I love to take into consideration is if he goes through like a little I don't even say temper tantrum, but just an emotional response, or my son, when he gets emotional,
right,
he actually gets like angry because he doesn't know how to regulate his emotions yet. Right. And right. he'll yell, and then he yells to, as a, like a defense mechanism. Right.
Yeah.
He'd be like, stop, or just, you know, and in that moment, what I've learned is not to allow him to have an emotional imprint. So what I mean by that is, if I'm allowing him to express himself the way he's expressing himself in the moment, but I don't allow him to go to bed that way.
Right.
So I let him go through his thing, and then I express the love. Right. I express that he's safe. I express all of these things as a mother. I want him to know that even if he is like that in that moment, that he's still loved, that I'm still here for him. Right. And like 10 times out of 10, it's for us, it's worked where he will just crumble and he feels safe again. And we'll talk about whatever it is that we talked about. If I was at fault, or, you know, I will say, and right. say that. And I think that's like our first type generation in parenting, where I feel like my parents never apologized. Well, no anything. Way. I mean, I got my ass whooped.
Once, maybe.
How many times? And apart from that, if I ever mention it, they'll be like, I never did that.
Right, right. They don't remember.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think that's just so important for, you know, this is where that lead by example kind of comes in, right? If you want others, say, to like respect you, you got to respect yourself. And how you treat yourself and how you speak and how you conduct yourself is just a reflection of how people are going to see you, and then how people are going to treat you. And if people don't treat you well, then you can start to allow people that are going to be good for your life and not.
Right.
So it's just this whole journey has been just so beautiful, because now I'm able to share with others. I'm able to allow others to express and not feel like they're alone. You know, mental health, mental illness is real. And it's simply, I'm not even going to say simply, it's because in my perspective is we don't feel safe to actually share and speak, and without the fear of being like judged. Right. Absolutely. And we stay silent. We stay silent. And that easily could have been me. That easily could have been me when I went through my experience and be shut down by everybody. But it's the beautiful part is that my brother is like, he knew right. that was going to happen. He had everything in place for me to make sure that I was going to be safe with my experiences, that I was going to be heard, and I was going to be led by teachers. So I had two spiritual teachers that I didn't even, they just came to me. It was just such so beautiful in that respect. And one of them was an indigenous medium who is still guiding me. And the other one is actually just from my hometown. That was also, he's a spiritual mentor as well. And it just, everything just lined up. And the reason for the first indigenous medium, I connected with him because my brother connected with him.
Right.
During a...
I remember that one.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
So it was just, once I knew that, I felt okay. I felt safe. Like it's almost like that term, I found my tribe in a way, right?
Right.
And that really guided me to at least being able to express what I was going through, because I think for the first... I know 4 months, it was tough to share anything, especially with, Matt, my husband, and because there was no understanding, right? I can tell, you can just tell when you speak to somebody, their energy, right? And if are they engaged, are they not? So it's like, I didn't want to, waste my energy trying to, make someone understand or listen or know. I know nobody would know what I'm going through because it's my own experience, but just to have that type of level of understanding, like none of that was there because there was so much fear, right, on his, behalf. But to see the transformation, like firsthand, like, Matt is, I see him now and I can tell just by the way he's, behaving and speaking, that he's like, I want a little bit of what you have. And because he's become more open,
right,
the emotions that are starting to arise, the different mind switch, right? Because again, it's that fear.
Right.
When we're doing things and going back to being an entrepreneur, I think there's this kind of level of kind of like this vision that's the only way. You know what I mean? Like, becoming an entrepreneur is like, I tell myself what to do, right? Kind of like what you said in the beginning.
Right.
But you make the calls, you do what you want and all these things. But then is it what you're doing? Is it still aligning with your core true values?
Right.
Right? Are you doing it just to make money? Are you doing it to just bypass whatever it is that's going inside? Like what is it? Like, what is your actual intention? And is it aligning with you?
Right.
Because if it's not, it's going to be haunting you, like literally for the rest of your life until
forever.
And some people will die and not, and still being in that escape mode.
Yep.
Right. And it's so important for people to really understand that, as I know this stuff can sometimes be like, this woo stuff, but it's not. I feel like a lot of people are starting to come back home to themselves, because we all have this feeling, all of us have this feeling inside of us where we're like, something is not being nurtured. It's like, you feel it. And I think that piece, it's that crucial decision where we say, you know, F it. I'm going all in. Like, I don't know what the hell's going to happen.
Right.
But I'm doing it.
Right.
I don't know how many walls I'm going to hit, but I'm going to go through them anyway. Like, right?
Exactly. Yes.
And it's, that's that big mindset switch, because you realize that we're here for not a very long time.
Yeah.
And what we do with every moment counts, you know? And there's this moment that a learning lesson for me. I was driving with my son, and there was like a homeless, and I've always loved, you know, giving. I don't judge, I don't question, you know, and this homeless man, you know, comes up, you know how they stand on the streets, right? By the stoplight. And I'm like, I was literally looking. I'm like, I didn't have any change or anything like that. Or I was even looking for food, because I always like to give food if I have food too.
Right.
And I couldn't find it. And my son like finds something. He's like, oh, he's like, I have, there's 50 cents. Right. And in my heart, I'm like, Damien, my 50 cents. I'm like, I'm not going to give him 50 cents. Like, I was like, I felt like almost embarrassed. Like, I'm going to give this guy 50 cents. And he's like, no, mama, give it to him. It's okay. I mean, he needs it. I rolled down the window, and in my head, I literally put it on my son. I'm like, this is from my son. Right. I'm like, this is from my son. And my son was like, just looking out the window. Hmm. And then they kind of just make eye contact. And the guy looks at me. He's like, you have a good son.
Hmm.
Like, and in my head, like, my ego came in the way.
Right.
Right. And, you know, I'm seeing this little 7-year-old boy showing this level of compassion and just love, where it's any little bit counts.
Right. He's giving. Doesn't matter.
Right. So I'm like, God, Damien, you're like always, you know, giving me these little nuggets.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing to see when we can nurture, you know, it's our offspring, right? When we can nurture, it's to see, like, it's not about like what I could have been even, or the things that I could have done growing up if I was like raised like that. Like, I needed to go through all of that. I needed to go through all those challenges. You know, when I look at my daughter, I see what happened to me when I was a little girl. And I can be there for you. And then I may not always be able to protect you, but I can talk to you. I can tell you, like, my mom never spoke to me about sex or anything like that. It was taboo. It's like, even my period, for God's sakes, like, I thought I was dying when I got it the first time. Right. Oh. And it was just, no one spoke about that kind of stuff.
Right.
So it was now that I can, you know, share with my kids and talk to them like little adults, and it's been great. I understand, right? And that's why no matter what anyone is going through, it's exactly what they were meant to go through, exactly what they're going through at that moment. It is for a divine purpose. Right. And even if you feel like you're not delivering, the people around you are also learning from your experience.
Right.
You know, and it's so pure and it's so loving that when you go through this journey, you honestly don't see we're all connected.
Right.
All of us. We're all connected. And for us, you know, especially with everything that's going around the world right now, if we don't take care and nourish ourselves and be that light, we're just falling into the same darkness and fear as everyone else.
Right.
Right. And there's so much that I can say, you know, in terms of what I know and my beliefs of like what's happening around the world, but even just our health, like even just think about our health, like we are in charge of our health.
Right.
You know, no government, no pharma, no nothing.
No.
You know, we need to exercise. We need to nourish ourselves. We need to go outside. We need to eat well. No, if you can't pronounce something, don't eat it. You know, as simple as that, right? I think we really, truly need to understand what is actually nourishing our body. Because if we actually want to be, if someone is in a space where they want to start to embrace, for example, their spirituality, our nutrition, our water intake, all of that plays a big role, right?
Absolutely.
Everything is connected. So you start to think, if what I'm eating right now, is it nourishing me or am I going to feel like crap later?
Right.
So, and I know in moments, you know, obviously every situation is different. You got to, if you're in survival mode, I get it. But if what you're eating is, if there's a certain thing is that's the only choice that you have, well, what else are you doing? How are you, you know, your mindset wise, what are you doing to propel yourself forward?
Right.
There's just so many elements. And then as you start to strengthen one area, say that, you know, we got mind, body, spirit, we start to slowly balance the three and we create this alignment. So we got to just, those are the questions that we need to ask, you know, physically, are you good? Mentally, are you good? Spiritually, are you good? Right. And I feel like the spiritual side of things, a lot of people neglect, because again, even that sense of fear, right? It's the this unknown piece, right? And that unknown piece is, like you said, it can be scary.
Yeah.
It can be scary because you will see things, you will go through journeys and feel things that you've probably never wanted to feel. You know, the pain, the extreme sadness, the anger, like all of that, all of these feelings and emotions are actually, they're not a bad thing. It's just, how are you allowing it to navigate your life?
Right.
Anger, for example, can be a great motivator, but are you leading with love, even though it's your anger?
Right.
Because when you rescue yourself with love, you will find the peace that you're looking for. You will find the joy that you're looking for.
Right.
You can't go into happiness or want happiness and use anger with anger.
Right.
It just doesn't, they don't, it's just like a constant clash.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So that piece of knowing that, even if life has shown you that love is not real, even that alone is this big illusion, because we are come from love.
Right.
You know, we are love. And that's hard. That's a really big one for a lot of people, I find. I was, you know, I'm grateful that even though I went through all the things, I feel like I did have love, and I always had this level of understanding, and this compassion towards the, like, you know, my parents, because I always saw them in a light that I always known that they went through something, right? And they did whatever they could. But if I didn't have that mentality, I don't even know where that mentality came from. But I honestly, I was just thinking about this the other day. You know, we all have like this one movie or this one song that at a point of our life when we were young, that kind of just gave us this kind of motivation, right? Because if you were like not in a good family setting, but then, you know, for me, it was like, I watched Rocky, you know, I was like 7 years old when I watched Rocky for the first time. And I'm like, you know, he didn't even have like a good family. He was this, he was that, da 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 da. And look at what he did, just because he believed in himself. Right. So I'm like, I'm going to do it too.
Right.
Right. So it's just something like that. How can just switch, right? The mindset of things. And this, there's so much that I can, you know, we could talk about when it comes to just how our mind is just so, it's programmed. We have this, it's like this incredible machine inside.
Right.
Right. And you can decide, you know, when things come up for you that don't make you feel good, it takes this level of courage and strength to be like, you don't belong here.
Right.
And just let it pass through. Because it happens. It happens. I think, I don't know if I spoke about this the last time, but it was, I remember during that phase of when I was really in depth with my meditation and the healing, because that is really what grounded me. And I have this little prayer that I say right before I do anything. And it's very simple. Just, you know, whether I say a greater God, please guide me with love, light, and protection, or this session with love, light, and protection. And there was a couple times where I actually forgot to say it. And I can actually not only hear, but see this sense of like fear and like almost this evilness where it literally shocked my body. It was like I got scared. Like I actually got scared. And because I was in such a deep meditation, I didn't want to come out of it. And I just, in that moment, I just said my little prayer and it was like, boom, gone. And right. I was like, back to it. So this is where this level of understanding is. If you're in a space where you do have this heaviness, you become like this target.
Yeah.
Right, whether this, you know, call it an evil entity, you know, those they call it, you know, when people say the inner demons.
Right.
It's, they know how to trick you and to persuade you and say all these things. And then you are now in this, like, you know.
Right. It's the same thing. It's just, but a completely different.
Yes.
Not you, you know, it's like not an alter ego, but. Just a different emotion taking over, and you're allowing that to, you know, usually it's anger, hate, you know, revenge, whatever it is. But like you said before, it's a way of releasing our emotion, but where's the intent of that, right? Mm-hmm. You can be angry. That's fine. It's a normal emotion, but is it with to be angry in order to hate and get back? Or is it being angry because you love something so deeply that it's making you mad? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a lot of sense when you said that. Now, I like you had a checklist. It's like maybe 10 minutes ago, but your checklist of, is your physical health good, and mental health, and spiritual health? Something that should just be like the checklist. Why do we need 1,000 things a day? It's like 1, 2, 3. Good?
No. Exactly.
One's missing. Work on that one thing today. You know?
Exactly.
It made a lot of sense.
That's you know, I love the way you said it like that, like a checklist.
Yeah.
Because it's true. And I find like if even at the end of the day, so this is something that I love, that I do myself. And I always, anyone that I work with, I always tell them to do this. No matter how your day went, whether it's good, whether it's not so good, or whatever happened, right? Always go to bed expressing gratitude.
Yes.
Always. Even if it's like 5 minutes, even before you even enter your bedroom, because you don't want to bring that energy with you. True. Right? Because if you know the subconscious mind, it never sleeps.
Right.
Never sleeps. So if you can tell yourself, you know, in a moment of gratitude, you're already inviting love and this, you're creating a safe space for yourself. You know, and even being grateful, even though today didn't go the way I thought it would, I'm still grateful that I'm still here, that I'm still living, and that I have, you have a family, you just, all the little things that you can still, that you ate today, you know, right. All these things that you can just be grateful for.
Right.
And just as I close my eyes, you know, let me have a restful, peaceful sleep.
Right.
So if I do wake up in the morning, I can try again.
Right.
And that is actually setting the tone so that as you sleep, you are already putting yourself in a healing, like 8 hours of healing without you even really trying.
Right.
You know, so if someone is, this is something I've said to, especially those who are really having a hard time. If you're someone who can't tell yourself, like, you know, the all I am statements, you know, and I think that's a hard one too, because if you don't feel like, you know, I love myself, or I am strong, or I am this, or I am that.
Right.
To a lot of people, that can be triggering itself. Like,
right.
And it's, but it's, if you're in that state, it just, again, allows for reflection, because if you don't feel like that, okay, well, why not? And then you go in through like the digging, you pulling, peeling the layers and all that kind of stuff, right? And that's like a little bit something different. But what I do like to encourage is, because your subconscious mind doesn't rest.
Right. I'm here. Keep going.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's okay. Even listening to, because if you like, you know, YouTube and all these have all so many different things, but you can do like a sleep one where it'll tell you all these beautiful things, and you can be listening to them as you sleep. So your brain will start to rewire itself without really, you know, doing the full work, but it will start to invite this kind of switch in you. So even throughout the day, you might start to feel a little different, or you might respond a little different to something. And it just starts, you start to feel and notice the change. But until you actually take action, I mean, you're going to be constantly repeating yourself. And it's just realizing, if I'm so uncomfortable with how I'm feeling, I'm ready to do whatever it takes to not feel like this anymore.
Right.
Right. It's a journey. I say that it's the toughest yet the most rewarding journey I'll ever take. Hey.
And you move to this one. Where's this? Wait, this goes here. God, I didn't want to stop. It was so good. I was like, just keep glad it's going.
It's okay.
Still going. My battery. So let's move to this one. It's almost time anyway.
Yeah.
Let's move this back to this one. I actually like this program. Everything you're saying, like, this is not good. Such a weird. Everything you're saying is. Just, I don't want to say, I don't like using the word resonates, because I like using the word resonates, but I overuse the word resonates, but it's the only thing that makes sense, you know, because it just makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that are afraid and or avoid accepting the fact that this makes sense to them, but it's not the norm. It's not, they're conditioned, right? You said that before, where we kind of condition our kids, right? Our kids are no one right now. They're trying to figure out who they are. And obviously, little by little, they're conditioned to be this person. And then at some point, they find out who they are. And there's so many people that don't even go past their conditioning. They don't even give it a shot. Try to find out who they actually are, or accept the things that happen to them. And that maybe there is a reason or a purpose of why this is happening to you versus why is this, you know? And there's so many things that I want to say to you when you're doing it, but you just kept, like, that's why I always go, right, right. Every word, right. That's all I say all the time. Right, right. Because every word that's in my head, you say it 5 seconds later. It's almost like I don't have to continue. I don't have to say anything, because you're just saying the right words. So I just go, yeah, right, right.
Yeah, even that, when, you know, it makes sense, it's because it's a feeling that your body you know, remembers.
Yes.
Right. So, so that's the word resonates and now makes sense. It's simply because you've been thinking it, you've felt it, and it's, so when you hear it, it's like, you know, your body, you know, goes into this type of, builds this emotion, right? So even that is just truly a way to even just tell you that, you know, no matter what it is that you're going through, and I can say this, you know, with such a pure heart and just so much love, because I know it's just not only just from my experience, but just there's so many beautiful stories. It's exactly, there is no mistake.
Right.
Absolutely no mistake. It's just part of the plan. Right. And what really kind of pushes me a little bit even forward is it's like our life, because there's just this unfolding that's happening. When we do let go of that control, we're allowing things to just unfold right before our eyes without even trying. And it's knowing that's because I'm actually now doing what I've never really done before. I'm now in a position where I am just allowing myself to go through this, you know, to trip, to fall, but keep going forward. And to know it's almost, it truly excites me. Even if I'm going through a struggle, I'm like, I always remind myself it's for something. It's for something. I'm going to learn from this. Someone's going to learn from this. My kids, my husband, the neighbor, whatever the case may be. Someone is learning from something, from this. And because, again, we're all so interconnected, it makes it fun. You know, if you think of it even as, you know, Super Mario's.
Yes.
We've all played that when we were kids.
Absolutely.
Right? You got to think of it almost like this game that we play. You have ones that have played the game so much that they just know what to do. They know where to go. They know all the secret, you know, pathways to go to level 3, right? And meanwhile, you're still in level 1, falling, getting eaten, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
But if, you know, you have someone help you and maybe tell you, hey, why don't you try this way or go this way? Or if it's up to you, are you going to listen? Are you going to let your ego go in the way? Like if someone who's already kind of done it, let them help you and guide you, like what it is that you need to do, right? Or are you just going to, you can go through the journey at the end of the day, at the end of the day, the princess is still there.
Right.
Whether it takes you a year to get there or a month to get there or a week to get there, right? Yes. It's still at the end. There's that end goal. And however you decide to take it, are you going to get, you know, receive that helping hand to get you there a little bit faster? Right. And it becomes like this game that we play.
Yeah.
And the moment we allow ourselves to just release and not allow our ego to get in the way of this process and this journey. Because as soon as we do that, we're literally just taking a step back. And we're taking a step back and a little bit further from where we need to go.
Yes.
So I can say this now, I wouldn't change anything. And that's even including my brother.
Right.
You know, this, I was able to rebuild a relationship with him. I got to know him in such a different and deeper level. Like I got to know him for him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like this is because I connect with spirit. And it's so unique because when a person dies, they come back to their unique, beautiful soul being. Even if they made like a bunch of mistakes, even if they hurt people, or whatever it is that they did when they were living, they come back to their whole spiritual essence, their spirit, and they recognize, they know, they see that they have hurt others, that they did the things that they did, and they try to communicate, they try to like lead the way, but they can't if we don't open ourselves up, right?
Right.
And that is where, for us journeying, we can make things right if we can just create this space and understanding that, you know, once, you know, you die, that's it. Now you're watching. It's like from a different level. They're watching now the show.
Right.
What are you going to do next?
Right.
Even though I messed up. Right.
Truth.
And so that just in itself has just really allowed me to see in a different level, because I'm personally leaning more into like mediumship, because it's just becoming just so part of me, and I've helped so many people that I can feel a person's energy and their care, you know, that they can be, you know, humorous. I can even feel if they loved dancing or whatever it is, like I can feel it. I can even see it. And in most cases, I think a lot of, and now I'm kind of going in a different direction, but even when it comes to death, a lot of times people feel that there was a lot of suffering.
Especially right.
Depending on, you know, if you're dying, if you're sick or you're not, or there's certain things that have happened to a person, you know, everyone wants to feel like they had a, you know, they don't want a person to like suffer.
Right. Correct.
But just through the experiences that I've gone through, there's this level of kind of protection, even from other spirits. So that you're not alone before you transition. And that was such a unique experience for myself, because whether it's just my parents, and I've had other cases where others have died and they weren't alone. It's like if a recent interaction with one of my clients is when the person, her brother died and didn't really lead the best life, but I knew that when he did die, that his mother was right there with him. Right, to take him home.
Right,
so he wasn't alone. So in those last little bits, he was like guarded, because even though your body's there, it's just when you're like your spirit's now coming out.
Yeah.
Right. So there's just, that's like a whole different topic when it comes to like that type of spirit stuff, and not understanding the different levels, different stages.
Well, I'm very interested in that. That's something we can definitely
do. No,
definitely. If you want to go there, like I'm 100% open to listening, only because I kind of feel...
Episode 3?
Yep, I'm cool with that. Episode 3 is perfectly fine, because it's going to definitely take a while for people to understand that one. But it's very interesting to me, you know, whether it's a fear of it, whether it's the... Maybe you do have that energy and understand, like, I'm a feeler too. I understand. And I know for a fact that I've seen, felt, heard, been with other beings other than, I don't want to say spirits, right? See, yeah. I don't want to say, because I don't want to sound like that, but it's true.
But even that though, like even how you're expressing it.
Yeah.
Again, like you're saying, it's coming. I just got a little comfortable. It's coming from a place of fear and also a place of judgment.
Yes.
Because it's so true. This is why I'm passionate about this side of things, is because there is that level of, you know, when you don't know something or if someone's going through something, you don't know the experience, right? But right. We all have the capability to connect. Right. We all have this. I'm sure almost even anyone hearing me say this, you've already experienced something at some level that you have yourself, you pushed it to the side as being nothing, or it was a coincidence, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've all had something.
100%.
Right? So the more we block it out, we won't experience that side, and not everybody will, and that's okay too. This was a lifetime that you weren't going to open yourself and experience that.
Correct.
Right? Correct. So when you do, so when this part, when opening yourself up to your spiritual self and spirituality and wanting to embrace it, you are entering a space where you will feel different. You will see different. You will hear different. And that is very powerful. And I do feel that even though there's this level of, you know, collective consciousness that it is rising, we still have to ensure that we're being authentic and true, because we're not fooling anybody.
Truth.
Right? You can, you know, I don't, even how you speak or how you seem, you know, on the outside, it's yourself, right? Okay. You're only fooling yourself. So I think just being honest, really honest with ourselves, is so important, because I think that piece alone is very healing. Because then once we admit, even if we've made a mistake, even if we've done something in the past that was very harmful to someone or whatever the case may be, it's accepting that and owning that as part of your experience.
Right.
Right. Very and true. Moving forward with that, with this, yeah. And you build that level of grace.
Right.
Because when you go through that journey, no matter what anybody thinks, no matter what anybody says, like, you know, all of a sudden you're this spiritual guy, you, whatever you did in the past didn't matter. So again, that's other people's projections, right? So that's where this level of strength comes in, because once you know yourself, once you, you know, stand for yourself, and yes, you have that level of, you know, love and strength that you have found, and you know how hard it is to go through that path. Once you're in that space, doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't.
Nope, not one bit.
So it's I'm so happy that cool. I was able to share. I don't know, we were kind of all over the place today. Dude,
but always, it's fine.
A conversation.
And that's the best. You know, it's really just talking. But actually, I do have to go and pick my kids up.
Yeah, no, it's camp. Okay.
It's okay.
Hey, look at the time.
But I'm good.
Look at the time. I know. Oh, wait, it's not on your side. It's on my side.
Yeah, 11:22. Easily, it's fine. I'm good at it.
Okay.
What was I going to say? Definitely, I can't wait to do part three, because I'm just going to let you talk and I'm going to ask, literally ask questions that I've wanted to ask people.
Honestly, prepare them. We can, we can discuss it. There's so much. And then as I'm also learning, I've been picking my mentor's brain a lot. And I think because everyone is in their own journey and what we're going through, even just today as a, just before we go, just to kind of spice things up for next time. But I actually messaged my mentor today, and I asked him, I'm like, and for me, I like to call them earthly problems, you know? And I'm like, you know, whenever I immerse myself in doing that, it's like, I know part of the ego comes in, and I go back and forth with the two, because, you know, you have this notion where, you know, you still have to work, you still have to make money, you still have to do things, right? So it's mixing. So mixing the two has been I wouldn't say hard, but I'm learning how to intertwine the two, right? So I asked them, and every time I go through these earthly problems, I find that I disconnect. And so it has made it harder for me to connect to spirit, to connect with myself. And because now I've come out of that space, and I have to kind of bring myself back home. So I asked him, like, you know, do you experience this? Someone who's actually, you know, he's been doing this for pretty much since he was a kid is when it first started for him, but it wasn't until he was an adult where it's like, okay, this is the path that you're taking. But when we go through these transitions during parts of our life, we feel that we do become disconnected. And then how do we find ourselves? So now I've learned myself that when I'm disconnected, I need to go back to nurturing myself again.
Okay.
And that's a really important piece. And I feel like when you have that level of awareness, you can navigate life in a much smoother way. And that goes by just being able to connect with your own spirit. So spirit is not just the spirit of the dead. You are right. A spiritual being. You are right. A spirit. So when you connect with your spirit, it'll guide you. And this is the beauty. And this is the conversation that I love to have with you next time, is that when you connect with your spirit will actually tell you exactly what you need to hear. It won't give you all the solutions.
Right.
But it'll tell you the truth.
Yes.
And it's a truth that you may be avoiding. Maybe you've known, but it'll tell you in your face, in your heart. It's going to tell you in your heart.
Right.
And what you do moving forward, then, is up to you. But that's where you go into the space where I know what I need to do, but why is it stopping me from doing it? Right. Okay. So anyway, it's a whole different topic, but it was such a pleasure being with you.
Absolutely.
It's just, I love being open, and this is me.
Right. And
yeah, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to be here.
And absolutely. I'm so happy that you always, you know, connect, and we always can do this. And I definitely did another one. It just keeps going. Like the more we speak, the more like, it's like another door opens, you know, it's like, oh, that was it. Okay. Well, let's talk about this one. Oh, here's another door that I definitely want to talk about. And I haven't talked about with anyone, maybe with my brother, right. Or my mom, because my mom is also the same, you know, so It's very, very interesting. And I want to definitely, I'm going to prepare for that one.
Absolutely. Ask me anything, because yeah. I know you got to go, but I think that's the biggest goal even for me.
Don't be late. It's fine.
is just like you said, we have this one person or another person that we can kind of open ourselves up. It's like, hey, can I tell you something? I'm like, you felt it too. You heard that too. And then you go into this, you know what I mean? And then you find that one person that you're like, okay, I can be a little crazy with you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But we're all like this.
Right.
We've all had these experiences, but we're all walking with this like invisible bubble to be like, I went through the experience, and another person like, I went through this experience too. And I know, you know what I mean? So we're all kind of like, you know, so connected, but we're
you're
like
looking for connection. Right. It's like, you're connected, but you're looking for connection. It's like, you just want to be not judged, right? And then accepted. And that's what you said before. So it's very interesting.
Yeah. So prepare for that one.
Yeah, I'm in. But thank you so much for coming out. I appreciate it. Anything else you want to say to anyone while you are signing off?
The only thing I can say, and again, I speak from the heart, is no matter whatever it is that you're going through, it can be good. It can be, you know, not so good, is again, that level of gratitude, and just be grateful for where you're at, because you're going to look at this very moment and realize why exactly you went through that, and why you felt like that, and why it eventually will propel you to be the person you're meant to be.
So. You can always tell when you're speaking from the heart, because you close your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if you even noticed that, but you can see how like the calm happens when you say something very sincere, very heartfelt. And I want to thank you for that, and always being on the podcast. And I can't wait till next time. So
guys,
till next time, have a great day, guys.
Take care. Bye.
Wow. Can't believe it. All right. Well, anyway, this is off.
I'm so sorry you're late.
No, it's all right. It's not a big, I'll make it. I can make it. Cause I got to pick up one and then pick up the other. So one's at regular camp and one's at art camp. So
camp. There's no school?
No, these guys have no school for 2 weeks. They have a holiday break.
They started out early. Okay. Ours
is Friday.
I know.
Well, in New Jersey, it wasn't the same. Here, it's 2.5 weeks. 2.5 weeks they got off.
Oh, my gosh. Well, have fun with that.
Well, thank you so much. But I'll definitely connect with you.
Okay.
I'll let you know when this pops out. Okay. Then let's schedule another one. I'll make sure that I have the times correct.
Yeah. No worries. This was great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
All right. Bye. But done. I don't even know how to use this thing.
I know. I'm like trying to like get out.